I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I give you a thought. You know, sometimes we say things, and I think we don't think them out. Christians, we all got cliches. Let me give you one. If you don't like the weather around here, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. Do you know where I've heard that? Every state of the union. And everybody that said it like I was going to be impressed because it was the first time I ever heard it. And the thing is, it ain't like that. I mean, I've been places where the weather didn't change in 5 minutes. Now, when I was in Pensacola, it would. I mean, it could be raining in Pensacola, and inside of an hour, the sun come out and dry it up. So, I mean, there are places where it'll change in 5 minutes. But, you know, people say that, you know, or how's this one? I bet you never heard this before. How you doing? Better than I deserve. And people say that like, you never heard that before, right? That's number 151,024. And here's one that we say, and I'm going to contend. Man, it's good to be alive. I don't think so. Well, I don't wish I was dead. There are folks. Never mind. But let's look at this verse, and it says this. John is speaking. I think one of this, I didn't use the word precious too much. And when I do, it kind of makes me sick. But not here. It says this. This is a precious verse to me. It says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be saved. It really is, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your mercy. I'm sure there could have been a way you could have bought us without the price you paid. We weren't worth the blood of your Son. You could have bought us some way. We'd still be glad to be going to heaven. But you way overpaid on this. God, we're here tonight as a bunch of walking, talking dirt balls that just came together, united around you and this book. God, these folks want something. They want something from you. They want something from your book. I'm asking you, Father, for their sake. God, I don't care about dropping the ball. I don't care about, somebody thinking I didn't preach good. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me, God, is that they may not get a message from you. They may not hear from you. That is a horrible, horrible thing. So please, Father, get Sam Gipp out of your way, out of their way, and speak to the hearts of each individual, God. You've got plans in their lives, and I pray, God, that your plans come before ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, here's what I mean when I say I don't like that term, it's good to be alive. Aren't plants alive? You like to be a plant? Well, would you like to be a plant? I wouldn't like to be a plant. Well, they're alive, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to be a plant when the neighbor's dog comes into the yard, okay? Look, he's coming for it already. Oh, anyway, but plants are alive. And you're alive and they're alive, so what's the difference? Animals are alive, are they not? And I know that in the Bible that we are referred to as dogs, but we are not literally dogs. Do I have this on? Okay. And so we're not literally dogs, but animals are alive. I don't really care to be an animal. Okay. The amoeba. You know, there are people that think that John was the first Baptist. I don't think John was the first Baptist. I'm not into that doctrine. But if I believe there was a first Baptist, the first Baptist was an amoeba. I can't prove that scripturally. I can prove it scientifically, and I can prove it practically. What does an amoeba do? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then what? Splits. If that's not Baptist doctrine, nothing is. I don't know if I'll ever pastor again, but if I ever pastor again, I'm going to name the church Amoeba Baptist Church. We'll just get so big, and then God will call somebody to start a church across the street where there's no Bible-believing work. But amoeba is alive. Would you like to be an amoeba? How'd you like to be a germ? I mean, really, what I'm saying, guys, is all of the above are alive. and we have an edge on them, right? I don't even want to dwell on this and the word that is used, but aren't there people tonight in a hospital bed somewhere, unable to move, unable to feed themselves? They're breathing, their heart is beating. We call them vegetables. It's a terrible thing. Are they alive? Like a plant? Like an amoeba? No, I contend it's not just good to be alive. It's good to be alive and be a human and be a saved human. Okay? Because you are alive, you have advantages over other things that are alive. You say, like what? Well, look what he said. He said, which our eyes have seen, which we have heard, which our eyes have seen. We have sight. Isn't sight a great thing? I think sight is great. You young kids, you may not know this, but when I was your age, there was no color in the world. The whole world was in black and white. I know, I saw it on TV. But really, guys, now, did you ever think about this? Because you ought to think about these things. Don't you think color was a good idea? When God came up with color, and God likes color, he makes everything in color. Look at the birds. I mean, you look at some birds, they got all kinds of colors. Look at the fish, they got all kinds of colors. Look at the flowers, all kinds of colors. God likes color. And I think red was a good idea. Red is kind of like the stake of colors. It's the pinnacle, okay? But really, guys, I mean, did you ever look at something and just be awed by the beauty? I don't know why, but it seemed. We've been in all the states, and I'm impressed with some sunsets. Not sunrises. I'm not interested in sunrise. You know, all these people, that's why I'm glad I'm saved. I don't have to go to those sunrise services anymore. You're going to get up? Oh, you ought to see the sunrise around here. Can't they just flip a switch? You know what I'll do if I want to watch a sunrise? I will watch a sunset and think in reverse. But of all the states we've been in, I don't know why, but Arizona, we've seen more beautiful sunsets in the state of Arizona than any. And I mean, they are beautiful. I bet you've seen more than one memorable sunset. Well, you think a plant ever bragged about a sunset? You think an amoeba ever said, wow, I'm glad to have seen a sunset? You know, I tell you, I've seen a lot of beautiful sunsets. I did see a beautiful sunrise. I really did. The most beautiful sunrise we saw was 2009. We're flying into London. I'm doing some work on a book, and I got to go to the British Library in London. And we're at 5,000 feet. We flew over the Atlantic during the night. And we're circling London, and the lights are on the city, and yet on the horizon is absolutely on fire with every color of the rainbow. Most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. Say, does that make you want to see another one? No. I was captive, so I may as well enjoy it. But let me tell you about the most beautiful sunset I ever saw. It wasn't in Arizona. You know where it was? Ohio. What direction does the sun set in? West. I was going east. How do you see a sunset when you're headed east? I'm driving out on 30 west of Maslin, and I looked in the mirror, and I mean, I saw the most fabulous sunset I ever saw. I literally hit the brakes. Kathy said, what's the matter? I said, you got to see this. I pulled off the road, and we got out, and when we looked at that sunset, you know what I saw? There were about a half a dozen cars that had pulled over at the same time, going both directions, saw that sunset. I mean, guys, sunsets are gorgeous, are they not? And I guess sunrises are, they tell me. But the fact is this, guys, look at the things we get to see. You know, I pastored in upstate New York for about 5 years. I tell people I got out on good behavior. And, boy, you know, New York, if they have the right kind of summer, when the leaves change in autumn, oh, man, you ever see those times when the leaves just turn every color of the rainbow? And I mean, they're red and orange and yellow. And just, have you ever not seen a beautiful autumn? The very plant that is turning the colors can't enjoy what you're enjoying. But they're alive, right? So see, I don't want to just be alive. I like being a human. And if you got to be a human, be a saved one. Because then you don't have to worry about what happens when you die, because you're going to die. And so I like it. You ever see, you know, we travel every place, and you ever see the mountains? You know, we are from Ohio, we're from the East, and in the West, they mock our mountains. Here's what they say about, like, our town, our tallest mountain is like 2,500 feet or something like that. I don't know. Our house is at 2,500 feet, and we're in the valley. We're in the bottom of the valley. True. Treasure Valley. It's the bottom, and we're 2,500 feet. And here's what they say out West. Mountains don't have grass on top. My response is, and rivers have water. They have to have their rivers plumbed. When you can step across the river, it ain't a river. And they're so desperate to name something river. I'm telling you the truth, man. I've seen things 3 feet wide and they call it a river. I've seen things 100 feet wide and there's not a drop of water. They call that a river. And so we need to bring them over here and show them what a river is. But you know, we go out there and boy, when the snow caps those mountains, it is beautiful. And let me just give you a place. There's some places. You know, one of the things that I tell people, the difference in our country, the East and the West. The East has points of interest that you can't see anywhere else. It is in the East that we have the Statue of Liberty. It is in the East that you have Plymouth Rock. It is in the East that you can see the Mayflower, the ship that they built as a replica of the Mayflower. It is in the East when you can go and stand on Lexington Bridge where the labor pains for the birth of this country began. Do you understand? We have points of interest in the East they just don't have in the West. We were in Virginia one time. We went to Natural Bridge. It's on property that was at one time owned by Thomas Jefferson. And when you're under, it's a natural bridge of rock, and you see the 18-year-old surveyor that surveyed it, he wrote his name up on it. His name was George Washington. They don't have that in the West. Out in the West, they have the beautiful places. Out in the West, we don't have a Yellowstone in the East. We don't have a Yosemite in the East. We don't have a Grand Canyon in the East. Do you understand? And man, if you ever go out West, you know, I got to tell you what happened. I graduated in 1968, and they sent me the 50th anniversary, 50th reunion. You know, it started out, it used to be a book like this, and now it's just a folding track. And three things that I marveled as I read this, I'm looking through this book. First off, a whole bunch of them lived a long time. Well, you know, we were pretty bad. We all thought, man, they were all going to die young. A few died young, but most of them lived out pretty good lives, and some of them are still old. The second thing that amazed me was how many 45 and 50-year-long marriages were in my graduating class of 1968. Some of these, I remember when they were dating in high school, and they're still married 50 years later. But the third thing, and this is what just stunned me, if you fill it in, you know, if you send it in, what do you want to do? And here's these people. Now, you understand that if they graduate in 68, the young ones are 67 and the old ones are 69. Most of us were 68 at that time. So here's these 68-year-old people saying, one of these days, I want to see the West. And I'm thinking, you're 68. What are you waiting for? I mean, you're 68, pal. You're never getting one of those heartbeats back again. Get in the car. And, you know, I advise, man, you can go to a country if you want, some other country, but, brother, go out West. And if you go to the West, you know, generally, not completely, but generally, the state of Utah is a square. It's got a little dimple up at the top, but it's a square. And get a map and look at the bottom. Right across the entire length, the entire width of the state of Utah, there are 6 national parks. You start east, you got Zion Canyon. In Zion Canyon, you go into the canyon and look up. In that area is Bryce Canyon. Bryce Canyon, you ever see a picture and you saw these like sharp pinnacles of rocks, red rocks? That's Bryce Canyon. 17 miles in, cul-de-sac, 17 miles out. It'd take you about 8 hours. You say, why? Because you will be stopping. You know, the first time we went West, we understood what it meant, this term, breathtaking. Because you'll be driving along, and I'll say, it's just something to see. And we went to Bryce Canyon one time. We got there in May, and that night it snowed, and man, it was like icing on the donut. I just had to throw the donut thing in. I'm sorry, just something close to my heart. But and then you go over, and there's canyon lands. If you go to Moab, there's canyon land. Well, right just north of it, about 1 mile north of Moab, is Arches National Park. Have you ever saw a Utah license plate and it has what's known as the delicate arch? That picture, that's in Canyonlands. My wife and I, usually, if you see it, it's not an exact view. It's kind of like this. And if you see it and it's kind of like the right side is slanted, that's taken from a half a mile away. If you see it and it's slanted like this, somebody walked 4 miles to get there. In 100-degree, 110-degree weather. They said from the parking lot to where that is, it's only 400 feet higher than the parking lot. That's a lie. I should have known it was printed by the government. And my wife was the smartest woman in the world. You say, well, take a bottle of water. We didn't. We took bottles of ice. She froze our water bottles. I could have sold them. People are drinking, it's 100 degrees out, and they're drinking 99-degree water. And they're looking at my, you want to buy it? And when you get there, you're just about there. And then you have a thing. It's about, maybe it's about this wide. And it's against a rock. And you have to. You said you have to? Yeah. And then you get there. That's Arches National Park. And that's where they have the balanced rocks that you see in all of the Roadrunner cartoons. It's beautiful. There's all kinds of spiders around there and lizards. You think they enjoy the view? You think the plants are impressed? They're alive. No, man, we get to see that stuff. You go to Canyonlands. In Canyonlands, you're not up, you're not down looking up, you're up looking down 2,500 feet. Where they used to mine uranium out of there. And I was looking at the picture on my phone the other day, and you can go down to the bottom of the canyon. And it is literally, you're looking down 2,500 feet and you're watching this road that has been carved. Now, you know how you know it's a tight hairpin turn? When a Jeep makes a three-point turn. When a Jeep can't go around the corner, it has to go like this. Sam ain't going. All right? It just ain't going. I'm just not going. And but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then they have, I'm trying to think, Capitol Glen and Capitol Dome is just a bunch of national parks. Guys, I advise you to go. I advise you to go. You say, why? Because you're not a plant. Because you can see. You ought to see this country. Man, you know, I wanted to see Mount Rushmore. I saw Mount Rushmore in 1986. And I was so impressed until I saw everything that God did. And then I was so unimpressed with what man did. And you look at it, guys. You look at it. We can see. You have sight. He says, man, we saw God. That's amazing. He said that which we have heard. Now, don't give me this thing about they've proven that plants hear. I'm going to run up to a tomato plant. I'm going to eat you. But I know they say if you play rock music, you know, the tomato turns into like a squid. But the fact is, guys, the fact is, have you ever heard anything that sounds good? I do. I said it this morning. I like Handel's Messiah. I like it from start to finish. I even like the fact that we sing the Hallelujah Chorus, in spite of the fact that we sing it at the wrong time. We sing Hallelujah Chorus at Christmas time, celebrating the birth of Christ. You know that is in the Messiah, that's when he comes back to reign. That's when they're singing that. And we'll be singing it, okay? But have you ever just hear something? One night when I was pastoring, I was at the church, I was coming back home, and I had the Messiah on, and I am telling you guys, I am driving down the lake road toward my house, and when they hit the Hallelujah Chorus, I had a fit. And I shouted myself hoarse, man. Just, did a plant ever do that? No. See, it's not good to be alive, guys. It's good to be alive and be a human. It's good to be alive and be a saved human. Because you're not only human, but you can take a look at everything that is here and know who made it. You know, we have the We have the Big Dipper. Not the Big Gipper. Probably get called that next. And I was preaching down in New Zealand, and they don't have the Big Dipper. The Southern Hemisphere has the Southern Cross. If you look at the flag of New Zealand or Australia, that star formation, that constellation there is the Southern Cross. But I'd never seen it. And so I told the missionary, Brother Williams, I said, I want to see the Southern Cross. And he said, well, he said, we're going to be going out across some very desolate territory tonight. And he said, it's cloudless. He said, I'll show you the Southern Cross. It's around the middle of nowhere, backside of New Zealand. We stop on this country road and get out. And I look up and I said, you have more stars than we do. And he said, yeah, we do. You know, our planet is at a 23-degree angle. It's not straight up. It's a 23-degree angle. And it's not dead center of the Milky Way. We're actually, the north sees about one-third of the Milky Way, and the southern hemisphere sees about two-thirds of it. And if you think of the starriest night you have ever seen and then superimpose it upon itself time and time again, I mean, it was the most amazing thing ever. So when you ever look at a starry night, I always look at a really starry night and I say this to Kathy, this got to be a tough night for an atheist. Oh, they don't believe. Oh, they, everyone of them believes. That's what Romans 1 tells me. Psalm 19 tells me that doesn't speak to some of the people. It said it speaks in every language. When I go to New Zealand or New Guinea, and there's a pastor there, and I know him, but I never heard his testimony. And he said the way he got saved was he was looking at the stars one night and said, there has to be a God. I want to meet you. And God sent him a missionary. And I'm telling you that scientists are the same. It doesn't say they didn't know. It says they could have known and put it out of their mind. But boy, you see those stars. I mean, it's just something to see. So you think an oak leaf looks at the stars and is impressed? Huh? You hear the songs of the birds? I like the songs of the birds. Some of them. You know what I like to think? Now think about this. Nothing happened by accident in this world. Absolutely everything happened. You know, I follow this one site on the internet, and it's got something to do with physics and astronomy or something like that. And this guy's, whoever he is, he's a total evolutionist. And so you guys, you know what the B-2 bomber is? Okay. And you might have seen this. It's a classic picture. It shows the profile of a B-2 bomber. And above it is the profile of a bird in flight. And they're almost identical. And so on this site, this evolution site, the guy posts that picture and he says, nature is the best designer. And I posted, there is no nature. It's either God or nothing. Isn't that true? I'm working toward having him block me. I'll feel like I've achieved something. I've gotten through his heart when he blocks me. But the fact is, guys, that if there's no God, it all happened by accident. And when you look at it, it couldn't happen by accident. And I don't know what he was thinking of when he told the crows what to say. But boy, did you ever just hear a bird? And isn't it beautiful to sit around and listen to birds sing? Guys, I don't think plants hear birds sing. I don't think the amoeba says, whoa, I wonder what that bird is. What I'm saying, guys, is it's not good to be alive because they're alive. I don't want to be a flower. Believe me. If I had to be a plant, I'd probably want to be poison ivy, okay? I'd always want to leave an impression on everybody that I touched. You can smell. Some of you do. Now, I don't know if you think about this, because being Americans, I don't know if you think, but you know, in heaven, don't you think all of our senses, we have five senses, and don't you think they're going to be amplified? Don't you think that heaven is going to be far more beautiful than this is? Don't you think that the singing in heaven is going to be far more beautiful than what we hear here? Yeah. Well, then there's got to be a smell. There's got to be a smell. I am thinking somewhere between a grilled steak and fried chicken myself. But You ever just smell something? You know what is the happiest moment and the saddest moment in a kid's life? Now, this is when I was a kid. Some of you don't remember this, but you know, I'm one of those guys, walk 20 miles to school, uphill both ways, six inches of snow in the winter, in the summer. But anyway, I'd be walking home from school and you smell food cooking. The sad one is it's the neighbor's house. I'll be over there. Man, you know, moms, could I tell you something? I don't know what you're trying to give your kids. Let me tell you two smells every child should grow up with. Food and clean. My mother was clean when she was lost. Every spring she used to scrub the ceilings of our house. Man, and I grew up with the smell of Pine Sol and Murphy's oil soap and home cooking. Not at the same time. You know, we were 33 years on the road, and there's times we would leave a church after a meeting on a Wednesday night. We'd have the boys with us, and we'd go haul about 300 miles, and maybe after a couple hours, we'd be a little bit tired and had to take a break. So we'd pull in between two idling semis about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would pick up my sleeping children, carry them back to a trailer, and when I laid them down, they put their head on that pillow and smelled clean. You ever smell a clean pillow? They smelled clean. Guys, it's a good smell. I don't know what they're trying to make. You know, this pump soap, I want to eat it. Caramel cinnamon donut roll. Liar. I mean, really, it's when I read the soap label of the stuff my wife buys, I think it ought to be in a menu. But aren't you glad you smell something? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you can see? Aren't you glad you can hear? Aren't you glad you can taste? Boy, I'm serious, man. It's good to be able to taste food, isn't it? It is just nice to taste food. I'm talking food, not styrofoam. In the name of tofu. I went to a doctor once. That was a mistake. And he said this. He said, what does your blood work show? I said, I don't know. He said, why? I said, I never had it done. He said, why not? I said, I'm not interested. I don't want to know. Okay, you say ignorance is bliss? Absolutely. Yes. You're living in denial. Wonderful place to live. Beats reality way better. He said, I'm going to do blood work on you. I thought, well, there's the end of life as I know it. I'll be eating styrofoam and tofu the rest of my life. Why is it that everything good for you has to taste like soap? So the guy does this, you know, he did a sonogram of the carotid artery and he did all these tests and he did the blood work. And he says, now call me in a week and I'll tell you what the results were. 3 weeks later, he called me. He said, you forgot to call me. I said, I forget to call you. I said, doctor, no man seeks the information you're about to give me. I mean, I binge ate burgers for 3 weeks because I knew what was coming, the end. Nobody could understand. I was actually carrying a sign, the world ends in 3 weeks, and nobody knew. And he begins to tell me, and I'm telling you, the only guy more shocked than me was him. Because I am not in bad health. I am in bad shape. Really, I had a broken neck. I can't do push-ups. I can't do sit-ups. I can't really do much because it's a mess. So there's nothing I can do, but I'm not in bad health. And he says, you don't have high blood pressure. My blood pressure is a little high because if you are, you know, if your foot was in a bear trap, your blood pressure would be a little high. And I live with my neck in a bear trap. So it's always a little high, but it wasn't bad. He said, you don't have any cholesterol. You don't even have buildup in the arteries. He said, there's no PSA. There's no sugar problem. And I mean, he just went down the whole litany and we're both just stunned. Now, sometimes I know they get somebody else's records crossed because he also said I was pregnant. But I take that. I'm going to make $1 million through the star. You'll see me at the grocery store shelves. You'll see me just check out of Kmart. I'll be right there. A preacher gives birth to child. And I thought, man, I am going to be eating food that tastes like my socks for the rest of my life. You know, there's that joke, this old couple saved and they died and they go to heaven and they're standing there at the gate of heaven. And she goes, oh, dear, look how beautiful it is. How wonderful. And he goes, yeah. And if it weren't for your oat bran muffins, we'd have been here 15 years ago. You people that eat that junk. Now, first off, I think I said it this morning. I don't know if it was in the class, but I don't think anybody should eat meat. I really don't. I really don't. That leaves more for me. And you people that are going to eat your way to health and you're going to live forever because all that stuff, you're going to live 15 minutes longer than I do, and I'll be the one that's smiling in my coffin. You're drinking formaldehyde now. But I like taste. Isn't the first potato chip the best? It is. There's just something about it. I mean, guys, I do like donuts. And a maple cream stick. Surely that was in God's creative plan. But guys, it didn't taste good. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You know what you ought to do sometime? And I don't mean this in a facetious way. I don't mean this in a mockery way. You sit down and enjoy a meal, you ought to thank God for how good that you can taste it. You ought to thank God you can smell it. You ought to thank God you can see. My wife, I think she's gorgeous. If you don't think so, don't come and tell me. Guys, if you think so, don't tell me either. I really don't want to know. I can't whip you anymore, so I just kick you. But I just look at her. You know this house we bought? It has a large open space in the wall between the living room and the kitchen. And I just sit in there in a chair in the living room and I'm reading my Bible and I just get to watch her walk around the kitchen. I just like to look at her. What if I was blind? Are you glad you can see? She doesn't hear well. She got an ear, she has hearing aids. Her hearing's getting worse. Pray for her because I know it's getting worse. I'm having to throw bigger and bigger books at her to get her attention. I can touch. But do you think plants touch? You think they know what it is to touch? Look, I don't mean this bad, but I get in bed at night. She's in bed. I get in, and she'll be laying on her side, and I just put my hand on her. Say why? I just like to feel it. I love to walk down the street holding her hand. I love to feel her hand in my hand. Did you ever see any rose bushes holding each other's hands walk down the street? Really? See what I'm saying? Isn't the rose bush alive? Isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it smell good? It doesn't know it. But you do. Man, you know what I love? I love to tousle the hair of a kid. I don't know why. No, I'm not like Biden. I don't sniff him. I saw this picture. It was ancient Japanese armor, like from the 1800s. And what it is, it's a suit of armor. And all it is pins sticking out everywhere. And they said, how you dress your children if they're going to be around Joe Biden. Yeah. But guys, I mean, come on. Is there anything you just touch? Say, thanks, God. Guys, really, I think we should be thanking God for a whole lot more than we thank him for. I'm glad that I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can taste, I can touch. We have emotions. I really don't know that a plant has ever laughed or cried. Okay? But you know what you can do? Did you ever notice that laughter is natural? Nobody is taught how to laugh. Which means it is normal to laugh. Is that not true? Nobody's taught how to cry. It's normal. We have emotions. And you can create. Can you not? I mean, you know, people do things I see. Did you ever see anybody do chainsaw art? Hey, some guy's got a big old tree trunk, he turns into a bear. Or I saw this one guy turn into an eagle. And I'm always impressed with people that can create something. Let me tell you, let me explain this. You guys, probably one of the most famous artists, I said the word artist, and I meant the word artist, is Norman Rockwell. Now, the lost world will not call him an artist. You know why? Here's how they define art. You're an artist if you create something that has never been before. And if you understand that perverted definition, now you understand why some guy taking paint and throwing it on a canvas, they call that an artist.
Right.
See, they want to be God, and if I created something that was not there, didn't know what God did? Didn't God create something that wasn't there? Yeah. See, I'm just like God. There it is. And so they call somebody like Norman Rockwell, they call him an illustrator, because he's illustrating what already existed. You can take that definition of art, put it between two pieces of bread, and you have a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
Because the guy throwing the paint at the canvas is a sicko. And the guy, because Rockwell, you know, when you have to explain a painting, the artist failed. Really? This is my thought patterns. Now that I figured. But didn't Rockwell, when you didn't just see something beautiful, and there's some people, they will paint a beautiful scene. Don Triani is a famous painter, and he has done, literally, I've seen his work in the Civil War, and when you look at his portraits, they look like pictures. You would think they were photographed. That's how great this guy is. And he's all big on the Civil War. But when you see Norman Rockwell, you don't just see the ability to paint well, but isn't there something about it? There's always something impish about a little child, or touching, or patriotic. He is communicating to you. Is that not true? And you're getting it. I don't think an amoeba's getting it. I don't think a virus or a germ that is floating past a Norman Rockwell painting says, whoa, 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 did you see that? They're alive. Right? No, I'm sorry, guys. It's not good to be alive. It's good to be alive and be a human. Where you can do something, where you can, we can see and we can hear. He says, we saw the Lord. We heard the Lord. We touched the Lord. Isn't that what he said? This is the guy that pillowed his head on the breast of the universe and heard the heartbeat of eternity. My goodness, man. No wonder some of these guys marched off to their death with a grin and a smile. They knew. They remembered what the smell, what the touch, what the hearing, what the sight was like. Do you understand? They remember all that. Plants didn't remember it. The germs didn't remember it. They're alive. No, it's good to be a human, isn't it? And the thing is that the things I say about being human, a lost human can enjoy. There are lost humans that enjoy the Grand Canyon. There are lost humans that enjoy real art. There are lost humans that enjoy a good meal. But they're so disassociated from the Creator. So not only do we get to enjoy the stars, but we get to say praise to the one that designed them. Isn't that true? I saw this on the internet the other day. I couldn't understand what it was. And it said, watch this. Well, I'm an American. I have to obey orders. And it looked like a drop of water. And then this drop of water, it was like some kind of a horror movie, you know, like a cocoon and something is breaking out of it. But what it was a drop of water becoming a snowflake. And it had this pink hat and said, get rid of Trump. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Here's this shapeless drop of water, and all of a sudden, it transformed itself into six legs with all symmetrical design. And I got to watch that take place. I thought, that's something. But we know who did it. Isn't that right? Have you ever looked at a sunset and commented on what God did when he did it? Guys, you ought to praise him for that. I do praise him for color. I like color. I praise him for taste. I like taste, okay, guys? I mean, I do. We have a communication with our Creator that no one else has or nothing else has. Now think about this. Doesn't the Bible say this? Doesn't the Bible say that the birds ask God to feed them? It says they ask for their food. You have heard the prayer that is called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the next line? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm sure you thank God for your food, don't you? You ever ask him for it? I ask him for it every day. Say why? I'm a Baptist. I like to eat. Guys, I ask him for my food. I pray that prayer every day. Say why? I want to eat. And I know we thank him for it, but guys, look, if this country falls into a civil war, the food will go away, and a bunch of people in this room who have not asked God for a meal will be asking God for a meal. I don't want to get at the back of a brand new line. I stay up in front of that one all the time. And I ask him for my food. You guys who say, I pray and pray, and God never answers, ask God for food. You Baptists, you'd get that prayer answered about 6 times a day. Right? Every meal would be an answer to prayer. Guys, I ask him for the food. It says the birds ask for food. Doesn't the Bible say that the trees praise him? You know, I'd like to think I can do better than a plant. Look, we use this term for people that we want to say something derogatory about. It's not actually true. But did you ever say bird brain? I mean, a bird brain is not a large thing. I think the brain of an ostrich is the size of a walnut. That is twice the size of a Democrat. How big do you think the brain is of a hummingbird? That thing's got to be tiny, don't you reckon? Yeah. But it all functions well, right? So you're telling me this thing with a brain that tiny is asking God for his food? And you're telling me something that cannot walk and cannot talk and cannot smell and cannot see and cannot hear, and it just plants itself and it takes in the sun and it moves maybe a little bit with the wind, but it's just a plant in a yard somewhere. And the Bible says it praises its creator. Don't you think he can do better than a plant? I'd like to think I could do better than a plant. I'd like to think I could do better than a bird brain. You want to get to heaven and get beat out by a bunch of bird brains? You want to get to heaven? I mean, isn't that what people say? Well, I don't want to be a vegetable. You want to get beat out by a tomato plant? I want to do better than an animal. I want to do better than a bird. I want to do better than a tree. I want to give this God some praise that he is worthy of. And if I could ever think of a word, if I could describe this God in one word, it is worthy, because he is worthy of everything, every bit of praise that we give him. Is that not true? You hear they talk about these people, they're all bad until they die, and then they talk about them like they're heroes. And some of them are not worthy of the praise. Isn't that true? You know, when you write anybody in Congress supposed to say honorable in front of their name, you really think they're all honorable? No, they're not. And some of us, we get ordained and they call us reverend. You think some are all reverend? Huh? But if you describe him as worthy, let me just ask you a question. What could you say good about God to his face that he would say, oh, I'm not all that? You can't overstate your case with this God, can you? You know, I bet none of us, if we overdo things, you know, some people, they play golf and that's relaxation, but then some people get possessed by it and they play it day and night, or they play it every day or something else. They do it all the time. Guys, you remember when you had a little electric train? I worked in a hobby store one time. Guys turn those into gods. You ever see a guy, his whole basement is an HO set that he built? When I see that, you know what I think? I could have been writing a book. Well, if I did that, all the hours, forget the money, all the hours put into this, I could have wrote a book. I mean, you played with a toy? You spent all your time. Oh, look, I got to level 24. You cheated. You found a way to jump 3 levels. But guys, what I'm saying, we're going to get up to heaven one of these days. You can't say enough good about God. And I'll bet you, if you overdo something, even the Bible says honey is good, but not too much, right? You really think you can overdo praising God? Oh, you don't have to do it. You don't have to tell us all the time, because you're just going to try to impress us with how much you love him. I mean, just go to him. You say, what I talked about? Talking about red. Talking about your color. Whatever color you like. Talking about blue. You know what I think about this guy? Now think about this. What would you do if today somebody came into church tonight and they said, oh, we can't wait till tomorrow. Why? Because we bought a car, a brand new car yesterday, and we're picking it up tomorrow. Really? What color is it? Man, it's green with a blue top. Bet you got a good price. Do you really think you could even find a green car in your town with a blue top? And if you did, do you really think you'd say, I have to have it? But we have the God that can put blue grass or green grass and a blue sky above it, and it knocks our socks off. That is some God. That is some God. And all I'm telling you tonight is, it is not good to be alive. No, it is not good to be alive. There are things that don't even know that they're alive, and they're alive. Isn't that true? You are not them. You are not them. Every one of you, you know you're here. And more than anybody else, you know why you're here. You know who made you. You know who died for you. You know who has plans for you. Everything that you see that you're impressed with in nature, you know who designed it. You know who initiated it. Isn't that true? And every good thing that happens to you, every good smell, every good sight, every good taste, you know it all came from God. Isn't that true? And we never ever say, you are something. What a thought. I really think it. Honest. When God came up with the taste of fried chicken, he was on his game. Now, when he did peas, all I can think of is that must have been the same time he created hell. That must have been what was on his mind. But if you'd like the taste of peas, you ought to tell him. Really. Next time you smell something to me that smells good, stop long enough to say, thanks. Next time you see a beautiful sun, whatever, set or rise, say, Lord God, you're something. You're something. Next time you hear the song of a bird, say, my God wrote every note of that song. Our God wrote every note of every bird song. How can you not be impressed with him? And all I'm telling you tonight, I'm done, believe it or not, I'm done. But all I'm telling you tonight is it's not good to be alive. It's good to be alive and be a human. And of all humans, it's good to be alive and be a saved human. Because we're connected to the Creator. Is that not true? And all I'm telling you tonight is, can't you do better than a plant? If a plant can praise him, and a bird can ask him for a meal, isn't it going to be awful to find out you got beat out by a rose bush or an oak tree or a grackle? I'd be ashamed. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed.